Good afternoon, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the Bible, the word love is used in two ways. Whenever the King James translators translated the word love, and it refers to the feeling or emotion, the English word love is used. But when the emphasis is on the action of that feeling or emotion called love, then they will use the word charity. And so when we have this title, Call to Love, based upon this passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, you realize that verses 8 to 12 emphasizes the action of love, the result. It is one thing to say you love. It is another thing to demonstrate that words that you say you love the person with action. And so what we have here from verse 8 to verse 12 would be the practical aspects of what love means. We all know how important love is. You don't have to be a believer to love. You have many unbelievers who love in a manner that sometimes put us to shame, based upon the way that they show their love, especially parental love to children, and children's love to parents. And because of the way that they have done it, it puts some of us to shame because we do not love in the same kind of manner or intensity, the same kind of sacrifice that they have made because they are beholden. They felt indebted to mom and dad for all the years that they have poured down into their lives. And so they are prepared to take care of them. And you don't have to be a Christian to see this around us. And that is based upon the common grace of God in the lives of everyone, especially the unbelievers. Imagine a world where there is no love in the hearts of unbelievers. The world will be in chaos. The world will be in ruins. The world will be like the jungle. So we thank God for the common grace where we all learn to love, even as unbelievers. But this is not about the love of unbelievers, but the love of believers. One of the best ways to destroy a church, other than through wrong doctrines, is when we do not know how to relate to one another. You see, in the congregation of every church, you're going to find basically two kinds of people. Those who do not mind serving, and those who just simply do the barest minimum without service. They come to church faithfully and regularly. They do not want to be a member of the church, for example, or even though you might be a member, but you stay away from fellowship groups. You stay away from serving. You don't want to sit in any committee. You don't want to be involved in any of the lives of the people. You do not mind coming to church. You do not mind just simply talking to people from a distance or with arm's length. You know, most of the people in your life in the church, they are basically like an acquaintance. And so you come and you do not do anything else other than to attend service. You give up your tithes and offering faithfully. And if you are invited to attend church camp, you will very kindly and gently decline. Because in the church camp, you will be forced to interact and to fellowship with people. So sometimes people have this aversion, not because they don't like people, but perhaps because they are afraid of getting hurt. Because when you are part of the other group, the group that serves, what do you think will happen? When you are serving in this committee, when you're serving in that committee, when you attend this Bible study, that Bible study, when you interact and share your life with people and others share their lives with you, what do you think will happen? One of the things that will definitely happen is you're going to have problems. You're going to get hurt. And you're going to hurt people in the process. Maybe that's the reason why some people rather choose option A, the one to serve, stay far away, so that they will not hurt anyone and so that they themselves will not be hurt in the process. But that is not the solution, because the Lord says, you and I are to be the salt of the earth. The salt means you have to be in contact. No point being so salty and you are not rubbed into the raw meat. What is the point if you are so salty and you are not in contact with the raw meat will still rot and decay. And that's why they needed salt to be in contact with the raw meat. in order to preserve that meat which they cannot consume or cannot finish. You kill a lamb or sheep and your family is not large enough to eat up every part of the sheep or lamb, and it's so expensive, and there's no refrigerator, and if you do so during winter time, it's fine. It's cold enough, perhaps, but not in summer, not in other times of the year where you have heat, and you know meat will spoil and will decay, and the only way to preserve it is to rub salt. And so when the Lord used that salt to illustrate a believer's life, staying away is not an option. In itself, it's a disobedience, it's a sin. No matter how good and how holy you are, if you stay away from people, no matter how good your witness is, if you stay away from people, your witness is useless. No matter how salty you are, but if it's not in contact with people, your saltiness will not impact anyone for any good. And so to stay away because you are afraid of being offended or offending someone, because if you offend someone, you're going to apologize. If you get offended, you must learn to forgive. And both of them can be very, very taxing and trying to the emotions, to the mind of the person, because it hurts. It's very painful. And so by staying away, you're committing another transgression which may be more serious, because you're wasting your life away. And you could have and should have been a blessing to someone, but because you keep on staying away, just because you're afraid of getting hurt, that is not the solution. This is the solution. The call to love. Because when you learn to love, you will be able to overcome whatever misunderstanding, whatever problem, whatever difficulty that you're going to encounter in your witness, in your service, especially inside the church. That's why some people leave churches, not because they disagree with their doctrines, but because they have been hurt. And because they could not take the hurt. And sometimes when you encourage people to serve, please bear this in mind. Prepare them. Let them know that if you come in and serve in any capacity, please be prepared to get hurt. Please be prepared to hurt someone in the process, because we are not perfect. Sometimes when we wake up in the wrong side of the bed, you will get hurt. I recall many times some people, they do not like being hurt by the pastor. That's me. Because in Bible studies, and I have many Bible studies, and sometimes because of the pressure or work, I'm not making excuses, I'm just describing a reality. And then you do not keep close enough to the Lord, and you woke up from the wrong side of the bed. And so during the Bible studies, and they ask questions after questions after questions, and when these questions are so basic to me, and I've been teaching this Bible study group for 10, 20 years, let's say, and you ask these basic questions as if all these years of studying the Bible did not help. And so when you ask, I answer, and you ask again, I answer until I get fed up. And so what happens? I raise my voice. I become impatient. And I say the wrong thing. I become very harsh. And then either that person gets hurt, or the other Bible study members who see the pastor behaving like this manner, and they also get fed up and get hurt. And they don't want to attend this Bible study anymore. And they don't tell you. They tell so and so, but somehow it will come back to you. And some of them might be so hurt that they are prepared to leave the church, and some have. And so, my solution? Two. One, cancel all Bible study. Correct? Well, if I cancel all Bible studies, then I don't have to be in contact with anybody. So the only time I'm in contact with members, from the pulpit. And from the pulpit, the closest between me and the next person, there's this very nice air gap. Right? Closest is. So I won't hurt you, you won't hurt me, right? Got an air gap here. And it's monologue. You can't ask questions because it's sermon. So, whether I wake up from the wrong side of the bed or the right side of the bed, you can't ask me any question, and so I'm fine. When I finish, I just stand there, shake hands, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, hi, bye, bye-bye. So I do this, one solution, right? So I won't hurt anybody, I stay away. Cut off all Bible studies. Or, I apologize. I'm so sorry, please forgive me. Don't make any excuses, just apologize. I can't even promise that it will not happen again. Because I can't guarantee that I will not wake up from the wrong side of the bed, and the pressures of ministries and the burdens of other issues may once again get the better of me. I can't promise that it will not happen, because if I promise it will not happen, then I will commit two sins. One is I break my promise, and the other sin is I raise my voice again. And so, the other alternative is apologize. Apologize to whomever that I can reach out and apologize. That's all that I can do. What else can I do? I'm not perfect. I admit that. I try to be holy. What does that mean? That means if I do you wrong, I apologize. I'm so sorry with all my heart. So I try to apologize. That's all we can do. That's what it means by a call to love. Don't run away. Fix it. Fix it. How to do that? Verse 8 and 9 tells us love as brethren. Love as brethren. Treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. One family. Don't leave. Where do you go to? Because you get hurt, so you leave? So when you hurt somebody, you want the person to leave as well? In the family. You know, in a family, there will be problems, right? You think husbands and wives don't quarrel? Any husbands and wives do not quarrel are not really husbands and wives. Correct? Correct? Not correct. Come on, husbands and wives, you mean you all don't quarrel? I'm sure you all quarrel. Maybe you all just quarrel in the morning. And now still not made up yet. So, are you planning for divorce? Because you quarrel? Break off the family? Are you going to break off the family because you quarrel? When you share your life, you will quarrel. When you don't share your life, alright? Husband goes to work, wife goes to work, separate company, separate business. They don't cross paths, they don't meet. Then when they come back, the husband is in bed, the wife is in bed. They don't talk, they don't meet. And so they went on like this for 10 years, no quarrel, right? Because no life, no interaction, no children, just the two of them. Oh, they make tons of money, they might even have separate bank account. They might even go on separate holidays. You're the company, they need to have this holiday in this place for bonding purpose. The wife will have another place for bonding purposes. And so they don't talk. They only maybe are together when they come to church, sit in the car, and they don't talk in the car. They turn on the radio, and that's about it. No quarrel. Why? Because their lives are never shared. But the moment you share your life, different hopes, different aspirations, different makeup, different emotional stability, you wake up on the wrong side, the person wake up on the wrong side, boom, quarrel. True? Same for brothers and sisters. If they are close, if they play together, if they share lives together, there will be quarrel. Are you going to break up the family because you quarrel? That is why the Lord tells us, treat one another in the church. The context here is the church. Brothers and sisters. That's how you look at one another. Because as brothers and sisters, we will not hurt one another. We will not take advantage of one another. We will try to care for each other's spiritual well-being. If I hurt you, I am so sorry. Please don't be angry with me. Please forgive me. And likewise, you hurt me, I will forgive you too. Don't leave. Don't break up the family. That's what it means by call to love, where the emphasis is on the practical aspect. That's why Peter says, finally, be ye all of one mind. One mind concerning this. One mind in maintaining a unity of holy witness. Where there will be problems. There will be stepping on each other's toes. Cannot be avoided. We are not perfect. In heaven, yes. When you have the glorified body, I have the glorified body. You step on my glorified toes, no pain. No pain. Step. Powerful toes. Right? Powerful. That's what the Bible says, right? Our glorified body is spiritual, powerful, glorious, and never die. Right? That's our body. Wonderful. But that's in heaven. But on earth, the grace, the mercies, the love of God, all these must come into very, very sharp focus in order to maintain that kind of love and peace and service despite the many pains and hurts that we experience toward one another. That's what the Bible wants us to do. Having compassion one toward another, that is important. Give the person time, be understanding. That person most of the time is not like that. But so this moment when the person lost his cool, it's okay. Generally, he's not like that. So there may be certain things in his life that may have triggered something that resulted in him losing his cool. When you expect perfection, you're going to be very, very greatly disappointed everywhere you go. Whether it's this church or another church, if you expect perfection from people, please look at the mirror first, at yourself. You are not perfect. And yet people show compassion to you, love you patiently, with long-suffering, care for you, give you a lot of leeway and discount when you throw your tantrums. And now when someone loses his cool, you get upset, you get angry. And then you want to condemn that person because you expect perfection from others. Expect holiness, not perfection. The compassion that the Bible speaks of here means understanding. Have a heart that will give people the benefit of the doubt. It is a heart that is not judgmental. It is not a heart that just simply condemns a person. It is a heart that understands, that feels for the other person's struggle, for the other person's struggle with weaknesses, with even transgressions. You help the person. You don't write the person off, because God never writes you off. How many times you repented of your sin, whatever the sin might be, it could be plural. Never prayed enough, never kept your quiet time. How many times you promised the Lord you will, and yet each time, every time you fail and you sin and you go to the Lord, the Lord forgives. And then a few days later, you repeat it again. And you go to the Lord with all your heart, and the Lord says, okay, it's alright. I understand. I understand your struggle. I understand. That's why the Lord is called our great high priest. And one of the first requirements of a high priest is, he must be a man. Why? Because a man is able to empathize with other men. He's able to feel and understand the struggle of serving and witnessing for the Lord in this earthen vessel, where the measure of our faith varies from maturity to infancy. And therefore, those who are young in the faith, those who take a longer time to grow, we have to show compassion and show patience and help them. Don't condemn and don't write people off. That's what love will do. Is that all? No, love as brethren, that's as clear as you can tell. Love as brethren. The word love here is not agape. The word love there is what we call phileo love. Why? Because there is a reason. Agape love means unconditional, sacrificial, without reason. This one, the reason is brother. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's why you have to love them. You have to care for them as brothers and sisters. You and I know that when you love your own brother, your own sister, you care for their spiritual well-being. You take care of their interests. You don't just take care of your own. If you see your brother at home, your sister at home, failing in their maths, and you are good at maths, what do? You just ignore. You don't care. You don't help. And you are the older sibling, let's say, and you can help. And you see your younger sibling struggling and crying and cannot do it, and you can just do it just like that, because that's your talent. Do you help or do you not help? Will you help with an agenda? Bribe your brother? Alright, pay me first, then I help. You want to charge him? Or you want to do something that will benefit you? So I help you out, and when I'm in trouble, you help me. Okay, I help you now, you help me do the whole month of vacuuming, right? That when it's my turn, you've got to do it for one whole month. Or else I won't help you in your mess. You do that to your brother? Is that love? That's not love. That is called taking advantage. That is called someone who is very opportunistic. That's not love. Love means you can help, you help. Any hidden agenda, any underlying motive, none. Simply because you are my brother. You are my sister. I will help you because I love you. That's it. That's why the love here is called phileo. Because the emphasis is, see one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. If we see one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, I will not hurt you. On purpose. On purpose, I will not hurt you. That doesn't mean that I will not hurt you sometimes when I am in trouble or when I am stressed or whatever it is. Please don't doubt my motive. Sometimes my action may hurt you, my words may hurt you, but my heart is still love for you. So when I hurt you, and sometimes I may not know, please forgive me. See, this is one of the problems with preachers.
And on top of that,
I have tinnitus. You must have tinnitus or not? Tinnitus means I have this high, shrill sound in my ear, non-stop. I can't stop it. It's because of the deterioration of my nerve in my ear. I went for a sound test. There's certain sound that I can't hear. They put me in a soundproof room. They play a sound. If I hear it, I click. So when the sound they play is same sound as the tinnitus in my ear, non-stop, I can't hear anything because the sound is there. I will not click. So they will have a chart and they'll tell me, this sound you cannot hear, this decibel, this frequency you cannot hear, this one you cannot hear. So my enemy is silence. So when I sleep, I used to turn on the TV or turn on the radio to have some background noise. Otherwise, I can't sleep because if I put my ear on my pillow, the sound is magnified. And so my hearing is not so good. And so when I'm talking in a hawker center with a lot of background noise, I can't hear people very well. I can't hear my wife very well. And so when you speak, you know that when you speak, you have to hear your own voice before you speak, right? That's why people who are deaf, they struggle with speaking. Even though they can speak, because they can't hear themselves, it is very hard to pronounce all the sounds and all the words. And because of that, and then because when I preach, I used to speak from my diaphragm, I raise my voice. So sometimes when I talk to people, I don't even know that I'm raising my voice, because sometimes I can't hear myself because of the tinnitus. And so people might interpret it as, whoa, how come you raise this voice and you're so loud when you talk to me? I didn't even know that I'm loud. And so you get hurt. But I didn't even know that I hurt you. You tell me, I will apologize. I will not try to excuse myself. I'll just simply apologize. I'm so sorry. I raised my voice. Please forgive me. That's it. That's what it means. Love as brethren. We are here to help one another. You are saved by Christ. I'm saved by Christ. The blood that is common between you and me is not my own, is not yours, because we don't come from the same family. But the blood that we have in common is greater. It is the blood of Christ. And that means this family that I have, this relationship that I have with you as my brother, as my sister in Christ, is eternal. And we will continue to have this relationship in heaven. For how long? Forever. That's why love as brethren is a very practical expression of the agape love that we must have for each other. So that when we serve together, we serve with this attitude. That this is my brother, this is my sister, I will help. If the brother, the sister, by my help, can become better than me, I'm very happy. Because now he can serve the Lord much better than me. I'm very happy for that person. No agenda, nothing. No personal gain. Just to help. And if you stumble and fall, I'll help you. If you hurt me, I will forgive you. That's what it means by love as brethren. The practical aspect of it. And then you will be pitiful. The word pitiful means to have a good inward affection for people around you. That's the word. That's the meaning of the phrase, be pitiful. A good inward affection. A kind of a kindness. A kind of understanding. A kind where you will give people a lot of room and a lot of time to improve. And you usually will think not ill of others, but you will think well of others. You think well of others. That's what I mean by be pitiful. You will look at the person's condition, scenario, and circumstances of life, and then you will try to empathize with that person. That's the meaning of be pitiful. A good inward affection. All believers must have that. That's the meaning of what it means to love one another as brothers. And then finally, be courteous. This verse. Be courteous means to have a very friendly mindset, a very friendly demeanor. You know, some people say that, you know, my face not so friendly. You don't believe, you ask the two sons of Reverend Dennis. When they were growing up, they see my face, they scream, they yell. I don't know why. There's one time when I came back from Tabernacle, I was rushing to go upstairs for Bible study. The moment I enter into the church sanctuary, the lobby, I think one of the two boys were running and playing in the central courtyard. The moment he saw me, he stopped. He screamed and he yelled. The mother came out from the fellowship hall and saw me and laughed. I didn't say a word, you know. I just came in, he looked at me, I looked back at him, I didn't say anything, I just looked. And he screamed and yelled. What's wrong with my face? You mean my face is that scary? Is my face very scary? No, right? No, right, Amazon? No, huh? Is it that bad? Is it really that bad? I do not know. I mean, this is the face that God gives me. You know, the face may look scary, but inside very friendly, okay? I keep telling people, but people don't believe me. Because the face is not friendly. How do we know that inside is friendly? This word courteous means friendly of my friendly inside. Friendly in thinking. Be a very friendly person. Very approachable, and you approach people. That's what it means by courteous. Friendly of the mind. A friendly disposition. So, I'm trying. Okay? They say that it could be my eyebrow. So, somebody even suggested I go and trim my eyebrow. You know, my eyebrow is very fierce. You know, they say it goes up in there. Then my eyes also. Very small eyeball and open eyes big. And then they see the whole eyeball is frightening. Is it like that? I don't know. I look at myself. I'm not frightened of myself. Of course, if you find out yourself, you're in trouble, right? I think I look normal. I don't know, but be friendly. So I'm trying to smile more. But sometimes if I don't know how to smile, my children say, Dad, don't smile. You smile like that. It's very creepy. No, I don't even know how to smile properly. So I smile, not correct. I don't smile, not correct. So I don't know what to do. Can somebody tell me what to do? How to make this face look more friendly. So I try. I try to look at the mirror and smile this way, smile that way. Then my children say, you must smile with your eyes. How to smile with the eyes? I don't know how to have a smiling eyes. I can have a smiling mouth, but smiling eyes, how to make the eyes smile? I don't know. Try. Because that's what Christians are supposed to be. Courteous. Friendly disposition. It's all practical. Are you like that? You should. Because when you get hurt, if you don't have all these qualities described in verse 8, you know what will happen? Verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil. Why did Peter say? Because we're going to get hurt. And the natural tendency of the old man is to hurt back. That's why he says, you cannot do that. How not to do that? Follow verse 8. Because when you follow verse 8, verse 9 will not happen. If you don't follow verse 8, verse 9 will happen. It may not be right now. It may be like Absalom. You plot and plan and waited until you take revenge. Don't do that. Do not render evil for evil or railing for railing. They scold you, slander you, you don't slander back. Keep your mouth shut. Don't do that. Treat the person as brother or sister in Christ. They write nasty email, they send nasty WhatsApps or whatever messages. You don't do that. Don't send back in return. Don't. But contrarywise, blessing. How to do that? Verse 8. When you are, verse 8, the reaction of blessing. Do the opposite. They hurt you, you bless them. Knowing that ye are therefore called. You are Christian. That ye should inherit a blessing. A blessing waiting for you. From who? From the Lord Himself. Because that's exactly how the Lord Himself would conduct Himself. Now, we're not talking about someone who attacks Christ, attacks the Bible. Those who attack Christ and attacks the Bible, according to 2nd and 3rd John, you don't bid them Godspeed or else become a partaker of their sin. This is with reference to personal injury, which is what the Lord has taught us to do. Someone slap you on one side of the face, you turn the other cheek. Someone asks you to go 1 mile, you go 2 miles. Someone wants to take and sue you for your inner tunic, you give them the outer cloak, outer garment as well. This is about personal, not enemies of God, enemies of Christ. These are personal enemies or personal injury. Because when you serve together, this will happen. And that's why love, in practical terms, as brothers and sisters in Christ, will be very important to help us overcome our sinful responses and emotions. Because if we are not careful and you still want to serve, this is going to happen. They slander you, you slander back. They hurt you, you hurt back. You cannot do that because that was going to turn a small little disturbance into a major fire. A major calamity. Don't let that happen. Because the winner then will be the devil. You will lose your testimony. That person will lose your testimony. And everybody around you watching the both of you losing your temper, they are all going to be stumbled. They're all going to be disappointed. That has to stop. And the way to stop it, treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what it means by call to love. Verse 10, what will be the outcome? You will have a loving life. That's what the Bible says. Your life will be sweet. Your life will be happy. Your life will be peaceful. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You see that? Because when you do not treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, what is going to be the expression? The expression is anger. Right? Anger without a just cause. What will happen when you are angry without a just cause? Remember what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount? Your words will reveal your anger. First, you're going to say, rakah, useless. And that is not going to stop if you don't repent. It's going to go to the next level. You're going to call that person fool, which means moron, stupid. It's going to be expressed out by your lips if you do not stop it. When you are angry without a just cause, when you get hurt, when somebody slanders you, when somebody hurts you and you do not forgive, you do not allow love to dominate, what will be the outcome? Your life is going to be miserable. Because when you speak words that hurt people, what do you think will happen? People will avoid you. Either people will retaliate, and that person that you hurt will have his own friends and family members who will also try to get back at you. What do you think will happen to your life? Your life and your witness will be miserable. It will be full of attacks, and you're going to keep on attacking others, and others will keep on attacking you, and when are you going to stop? And by the time you realize your big blunders and mistakes, you have really wasted a big chunk of your life. And all because you did not treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Where the love of brethren is not present, and therefore you did not experience a loving life. And because your mouth is the evidence, you speak words that will hurt, and you speak words that are full of deceit. Proverbs warn us, be careful when you want to speak words to hurt people, and then after that, oh, it's only a joke. That's what the Bible warns us in the book of Proverbs. It's only a joke. I'm only joking. You are just covering it up. You meant to hurt that person, and then you use the covering of joking only as a facade to hide your venom, your guile, your slander, your sin. Don't do that. You love life. You want to see good days. Love your brethren. Love one another. Help one another. Don't hurt one another, especially with your lips. The word that comes out of our mouth are so deadly that the Lord warns us that if there is a perfect man, it will be seen by his ability to control his tongue. Sometimes there are many words that should not be spoken. It is better to be quiet than to just simply open your mouth and just simply make some noise and talk. There are some people who are like that. They just like to hear their own voices. If you ask someone, would you like to come up and give a testimony? They have nothing to say, but they're just still going to come up and say something. What do they say? All man-centered themselves. It's about themselves. Where is Christ? None. Oh, they will cloak it and couch it in a manner that appears to promote Christ, but in reality, they were promoting self. Watch your words. It is very, very important because it is one of the clearest ways to show whether you truly love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Character assassination is done by harsh words, untrue words, words that are spoken out of deceit to tear and bring the person down. Why is it that Singaporeans have this habit of criticizing rather than encouraging? Maybe it's because of our environment. Sometimes when you listen to the politicians speak, especially during election time, They don't boast about all their accomplishments. They tell us that if we do not get re-elected back, or if you do not elect us, the country will go down the drain. So they highlight the negative rather than the positive. American election is the opposite. They like to talk about all the glorious and good things that they have done, even though some of the things they have not done. If you elect me, I will do this, I will do that, I will do this, I will do that. Maybe that's why parents are very stingy in giving words of encouragement, very liberal and very free in criticizing, in bringing down our own children instead of encouraging them. And then we carry this over into our churches, into our relationship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Instead of speaking words of encouragement, we tend to tear the person down. Sure, we need you to tell the truth, but there are so many ways to present the truth. Isn't that true? You can present it in a manner that is encouraging, or you can present it in a manner that is demeaning, to run the person down. There are some people who do not want to improve, but they still want to be number one. But since they do not want to improve, but they want to be number one, what do? Everybody around them, they will tear them down, so that they will remain as number one. And how to do that? Criticize everyone. Criticize their teaching, criticize their writing, criticize their preaching, criticize everything everybody does, except your own. And therefore, I am number one. How? By putting everybody down the drain. There are people like that. Don't be that kind of people. Call to love. First, love your brethren. Result, love long life. Love long life and a good life. To be a person that will bless others. So that when it is time for the Lord to take you home, there are a lot of people who will miss you, because a lot of people have been blessed by you. When your life is one of evil tongue, can't control it, when your life is full of gall, people can't wait to say goodbye to you. When you leave this world, whew, thank God, He's no longer around. Wow, let us all go out and celebrate. So-and-so is no longer around. Wow, that kind of gall, that kind of venomous lips are no longer with us. Whew, so good. Do you want to be like that to people? How do you want to be like to people? The kind that will love life and have good days because you have been a blessing to people. Every day when you lay down to sleep, it has been a good day. I've helped so-and-so. I've encouraged so-and-so. So-and-so, I've heard, I've asked for forgiveness. So-and-so has forgiven me. So-and-so has hurt me, and I've forgiven that person. You look back, what a good life. Oh, it's not measured in dollars and cents. It's measured by the spiritual blessings that your life has been to others. That's what it will be. If you love your brethren, that's the good life. So, call to love. Love your brethren. Treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, but you will sure to get hurt. And you will also hurt others, surely. But because of love, you learn to be compassionate. You learn to be pitiful, to think well of others, and to forgive and to help. And your life will be a good life. Then people will experience the goodness that your life will bring to others. And finally, to sustain this, to maintain this, not just for the moment or for a month or for a year, but for the rest of your life here on earth. Do it for the Lord's sake. That's what it says in verse 11 to verse 12. For the Lord's sake. Because when you do it for the Lord's sake, you will not stop doing. The question is, don't do it sporadically. Don't do it only for a particular phase of your life. Well, I'm a student, I will do it. But once I get married, when I have children, wow, the pressures of family life is so great, you forget. You don't. The call to love is in the Lord. Let Him eschew evil and do good. That means let Him deviate from evil. Don't go that way. And keep on doing good. Let Him run after peace and let Him not stop until He finds it. The word ensue is the same word sometimes is translated as persecute. Pursue. It's like a person who wants to persecute another person. The Bible here says peace. You run after peace as if someone is persecuting another person. That means you don't stop until you catch peace. Just like a persecutor will never stop until he catches that person. Using the same intensity, the same kind of emotion, Peter borrowed that word to apply to the word peace. Run after it. That means do whatever it takes. What must I do to repair our relationship? Do it for the Lord's sake. Husband and wife, parent and children, friend and friend. If we are all believers, treat each other truly as brothers and sisters in Christ. Not just based upon our earthly relationship. Better than that. Spiritual. And then your life will be good. And you do it for the Lord's sake. And you will have peace. You will run after it and do whatever it takes. If by my public apology we can have peace, I will do it. If by my apology to you privately and make whatever restitution you want, if you can have peace, fine. If I can just surrender my inheritance and give it to you so that we can have peace, you can have everything. If by sacrificing this we can have peace, you can have it. That's what it means by run after peace. Don't let anything, any one of your own personal gain or desires to stand in the way to get that peace. Not compromising on truth. Not compromising on holiness. We are not talking about personal sacrifices. Like what the Apostle Paul says. To the Jew, I be a Jew. To a Gentile, I be a Gentile. If by not eating meat, I will not stumble anyone, it's okay, I don't eat meat. I'll just eat vegetable. That's fine. It's alright. It's only food. I don't live or die because of the food I eat, whether it is meat or vegetable. It's okay. That's what I mean. Personal preferences, personal rights, and personal sacrifices, all this you give up. For the sake of peace. Don't speak evil, deviate, and continue to do good and seek after peace, no matter what. Why? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. You see, that's why I do it for the Lord's sake. The Lord knows what you are doing. The Lord is seeing and watching. And He is pleased with your life. He knows. Do it for the Lord's sake. And His ears are open to all your prayers. If you need help, you find difficulty in forgiving because the wound is so deep and so raw and so painful, you cry to the Lord. You think it was easy for the Lord with all the wounds and all the persecution and crucifixion because of our sin? You think the wounds were not raw and painful? And yet He did it all for us. And so if somebody hurts you, and now you are bearing a witness for Christ, just as Christ has forgiven you, you forgive. But it is so hard, it is so painful. Nevertheless, you must forgive. But I can't do it, Lord. You pray. The Lord says, I will heal you. I will help you. I will give you the sufficiency of my grace and the mercies that I can pour down upon you, which are a fresh supply every morning. They will be sufficient to help you. Learn to forgive and to love and to continue to do good all the days of your life and stay far away from evil and run after peace no matter what. If you have to swallow humble pie, swallow. Let this self die. Fine. Just to protect and maintain your holy witness for Christ. Swallow your pride. Fine. Do it for the Lord's sake. His ears are open unto your prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That's right, don't do it. Don't do it. The price you pay is so high. The Lord will be against you. The Lord will be displeased with you. The Lord will not hear your cry. If you want to react and respond in evil to the hurt that people do to you, even if they do it with a bad agenda, that does not mean that you have the right to retaliate with the same. You still do what is good. Even though they might be evil, even though they might have a bad heart and a bad purpose and a bad agenda, even if they hurt you very deeply where you lose your job, you might even lose your loved one because of them, you must continue to do good. You must always seek peace and continue to do good. For the Lord's sake. Love in the Lord, that's the key. Because when you do it for the Lord's sake, it will be done unconditionally, it will be done without any expectation of reciprocation. You don't have to do it back to me in return. It's okay, I will still do everything to help you. When I'm in trouble, You don't want to help me even though I have helped you, it's alright too. Next time when you're in trouble again, I will still help you. That's what it means by doing in the Lord. You don't expect anything in return. You don't even expect a thank you. You don't even expect any acknowledgement. It's fine. You just do it because for the Lord's sake and for the glory of Christ, you just keep on doing. And when after you have lived your life and you've done everything to help people and people don't remember you, people don't feel anything nice to say about you on your day when you are buried, nobody is there, it's all okay. It's all right. Why? Because you have done it for the Lord's sake. That's what it means. As long as my Lord is praised, if everybody remembers the Lord and they are drawn closer to the Lord and they forget about me, forget about you, forget about the person whom the Lord has used to help them, it's okay. We are here to promote the Lord, not ourselves, right? That's what it means by love in the Lord. Your life will be a good life, a rich life, a happy life that is not measured in terms of material things. And you do so by loving one another as brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what it means by the call to love in practical terms. Not just the feeling, but the practical aspect. You have been serving. Is there someone in your midst that you are angry with or angry at, or someone who has hurt you or you have hurt? Apologize. Forgive. Make up. Why? For the Lord's sake. So that your life will be rich, your life will be good, it will be peaceful, it will be happy. Because you are brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou art indeed a very patient and long-suffering God with all of us. For we know that for our many transgressions against Thee and against one another, we should have been consumed the way that You sent fire down from heaven to consume Nadab and Abihu, the two older sons of Aaron, when they offered strange fire. Or in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, who were struck dead because they lied to the Holy Spirit. And how we all should have been struck dead because of our transgression against Thee. And yet, O Lord, in Thy infinite patience and wisdom and mercy, You have spared our lives, that we may continue to witness a good confession for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, before the Lord returns or before the Lord takes us home. Help us, therefore, to repent of all our sins, that whatever time that we have wasted in the past, forgive us. For we could have been and should have been a holy and a better witness for the Lord by loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, which we have failed to do, and to desire the good life, a life that is characterized by peace and goodness toward others, and to do it for the sake of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He might be glorified. And we have not done so. Forgive us. Help us therefore, O Lord, with whatever time that we have left on earth, that we may now begin as children of God to regard one another in this church as brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we may all enjoy life, the good life, because of our holy and a godly witness and testimony that this life can bring to others. And may we do so constrained by the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may do so for Jesus' sake, for He has given to us His all, and we need to return our all to Him, which is our reasonable service and sacrifice as unprofitable servants. Bless Thy people, O Lord, in this church with Thy love, and may they do so in genuine, sincere, practical ways. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.